You are now listening to the Online Course Podcast, the place where online course creators come to learn how to sell more of their online courses. Here's your host, Jono Petrohilos.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast, the place where course creators go to sell more of their online courses. I'm super excited this week because we have a very special guest all the way from Lincoln in the UK. I don't even know where Lincoln is, but I know it's you can't get any further away from Australia than that, I think. He's probably early morning over there. It's late night over here. So a little bit about this person. He's a digital entrepreneur with a history of scaling and automating businesses. He's membership site on his own. He's built it to 600 paying customers, and these customers are paying between 30 to 90 quid. That's, if you're not from the UK, that's pounds. It's more than dollars, right? I don't know the conversion, but it's more than $30 to $90. So that's a pretty cool achievement. And now he works with course creators, bloggers, and coaches to build, launch, and scale their membership site. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Mr. Ryan Carruthers. Ryan, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yes, I'm awesome. Ryan, I like to start all my podcasts off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one for us?
I have, but I think after hearing you just introduce me, I want you to just follow me around now all the time and just introduce me into every room I go into. I mean, wow, I'm like buzzing now. So the mantra or the quote that I really like is life is 30% events and 70% how you handle them. So people go through life thinking that it's all actually events that are happening to you, but and then a smaller portion is how you handle them. I actually think it's switched the other way. Life is only a small amount of events, and then the rest is how you actually handle that. Because I always describe my life as a series of unfortunate events that led to a series of very fortunate ones, which I'm sure we're going to get into. So yeah, life is 30% events, 70% how you handle them.
Yes, love that. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, which was pretty cool. It was something about two twins. I don't know if you've heard this story. I don't know if it's a true story or it's just a fable, you know, but it's a good message anyway, where it was essentially two twins. And their dad was a thug, you know, he was an alcoholic, he was in and out of jail, you know, and then one of the twins, one of the sons followed the same path, you know, was a criminal, in and out of jail, you know, alcoholic, and the other one became like super successful, you know, rich person. And they asked both of the twins the same question. They're like, hey, you know, how come you're in jail and you're an alcoholic? He's like, well, my dad was, you know, what do you expect? And the other twin said the exact same, they're like, why are you so successful? So, well, my dad was an alcoholic and, you know, drug addict. What do you expect? So one of them sort of used it to be like, well, you know, my dad was like that. What else can I do? The other one was like, well, shit, my dad was like that. There's no freaking way I'm going to be like that. So yeah. I think that you know, I probably butchered the story, but I'm sure we get the message. Ryan, what I was hoping to do today. Now, I'll give a bit of a summary for the listeners that, you know, may not have heard of you. I don't know. I think I met Ryan in a Facebook group. I was like, hey, who's got, you know, who's good with membership sites? Ryan's like, hey, you know, I've actually got a membership site, 600 people, you know, paying $30 to $90. I'm like, all right, this guy knows a thing or two. I'll talk with him. We went on sort of a summit together, and, you know, Ryan was giving a few tips to some people on the summit. And I actually used his tips myself. You know, it was pretty funny. He gave the tip, which was one of the emails. Then I'm sure he'll get into it later. But I sent that exact email like a week later. And it was like the best email I've ever sent. Highest open rate, most click-throughs, most replies. So I was like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. You know, I better get him on the podcast. But apart from that, I know absolutely nothing about the guy. So I was hoping, Ryan, I could just hand it over to you. And you tell us your story. You know, we know that, you know, you've now got a membership site with 600 people, but how did you do it? I'm happy for you just to start where you want to start and share your story. And if there's any nuggets along the way that you want to stop and expand and give tips to our listeners, go for it. But I'd just love to hear your story. So I'm going to hand it over to you.
Fantastic. No pressure now, is there? Yeah, I mean, I've always been that entrepreneurial kid. I was the kid that bought and sold stuff. Would wheel and deal all the time, never really understood what I was doing or why I was doing it. I just absolutely loved it. I just had that inner drive and that passion for it. And my dad always used to laugh at me about it. And I'd always be trying to wheel and deal with him. I'd be like, I remember one time a kid came into school and he said, oh, I'm selling my PlayStation and all of the games. And he had them all printed off on a piece of paper. And I just said, I'll have them all. I was like, I'll have them all. I didn't even have the money. And I went home and was like, I'll bring you the money in tomorrow. I went home and said, Dad, I've got to get, like, I think it was like 100 quid off him. I was like, I'm buying all of these games. And he was like, what? I was like, look, Dad, I'm buying all of these games. Can I borrow 100 quid? And he said, well, I used to work with my dad as well when I was 13. He put me on his window cleaning company because I was tall enough to reach the windows. So I used to go out with him and he's like, I'll lend you it and then you could just earn the money back. So I did that, but I knew that these games he was selling quick. And then I went and traded them in at the local trading in game shop and ended up with like £150 worth of credit. So I was like, just made 50 quid. So I just kept doing that all throughout my life. And then I went away to university and I went to study physiotherapy. And in my very, very last year, while I was at university, I was selling makeup as well.
What did you say? Man wear?
No, makeup. Actual makeup. Yeah, I know. It was crazy. All my friends took the mick out of me. And I'll never, ever
forget.
Was this
to meet girls, was it? Or what was the...
No, it genuinely wasn't. It was just, I can make money at this because I know that I can talk to people and I know that I can sell. And I also am quite analytical in terms of I can very quickly get to a decision and I almost instinctively know what I need to find out about that situation. So, for example, with the makeup, it was like, okay, well, what has to happen? And this is one of my learnings right now. What has to happen for me to profit? So I traded on the Betfair Exchange, which is where my membership website came in as well. And instinctively, I always think about this hypothesis. What has to happen for me to profit? What has to happen for my trade to be profitable? So with the makeup, it was like, well, what has to happen? Well, firstly, very simply, I've got to sell the flipping stuff. Okay, can I sell the stuff? Yeah, who am I going to sell it to? Well, it's got to be girls. Is there a population of girls in my university? Yes, there's more than men. And then when you work it down like that, you just get to a position and you're like, ah, okay, so I can do this. And then, you know, my friends took the mick until they came into my tiny little one bed, my little what, just one bedroom off a corridor. And there was like 30 or 40 women, like, scrammed into this and they were like, you're a genius, you're an absolute genius.
Can I jump in here a sec, because I've just writing some notes here. I've got about three or four good lessons that I've picked up from there that I think would be good for the listeners. Are you okay if I do a quick share?
Let's take a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Yeah, go for it.
I love that story you mentioned from the start, Ryan, where you said, hey, you know, I bought something for 100 and I sold it for 150. And, you know, there may be people listening to this being like, oh, big deal, you know, you made 50 quid, you know, oh, whoop-de-doo. But really, that's business. It's probably the exact same system that you're doing now with a few extra zeros on the end of it, right? It's like, you know, you got to know how to, okay, if I can buy it for this price and sell it for this price, there's the arbitrage, you know? And that's essentially, you know, that's essentially business. So I think that's a cool, and Gary Vee, I'm a big fan of, he talks a lot about this as well, where he's like, hey, I love just going to a garage sale and buying something for 10 bucks and selling it for 50 bucks, you know, because I know that I've got that skill. So I think that's super important. And I think it filters down to where you've said, hey, I can make a decision quick, because I think that's another good characteristic of successful people. But they've got to make the right decision, right? Because it's all well and good to make the decision quick, but if it's the wrong one, you're screwed, you know? But because you've been able to sort of work your way, you've done it, you know, with 100 quid to 150, it's obviously a lot easier as you're scaling up. Yeah. So I think that's a good lesson as well, where, you know, if you want to build something now, don't think that, oh, wow, I better, you know, go and spend $20,000 off the bat to try and learn this thing here. I'm not saying don't. There's a time and a place for that, of course. But, hey, it might be a good idea to get some momentum first, you know, make a few dollars first and be like, hey, I'm onto something good. Now let me scale. So I think that was cool. And then the selling part as well. You know, we'll probably get into this later. But, you know, if there's one skill with business, it's learning how to sell, you know, and it's sort of, I think it translates across everything. You know, obviously the easiest is personal, you know, on the phone or on a Zoom or something. But even these days, a lot of it's via Messenger, you know, and it's the same, would you agree with that? It's the same skill set, you know, if you know how to sell via the phone, okay, you'll know how to sell via Messenger. If you don't know that, you're gone. So I think that's an important skill. But sorry, just wanted to give some takeaways there. Continue on with this story here. So you've got the makeup business. You're doing well.
Yeah, makeup business is flying. And just while I remember there as well, just let's make a mental note to talk about how we actually now sell with the membership. And it is all via email. And it's been honed over many, many years to get to a point now. So yeah, I'm selling the makeup. I'm trading on Betfair as well. And then my mum rings me and tells me I've got to come home. And my dad wasn't very well. So touch wood, he's okay now, but he had cancer. And he had built this window cleaning business that had, you know, given me so much. You know, my dad paid for me to be at university. We had these two cards that he would swipe in Sainsbury's, the supermarket in Lincoln, and I would get the money in Sheffield. So I could have my food and stuff. And he employed my mum, and my sister worked in the business, and he had men that worked for him. So it was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to look after that business for you, Dad. And then I increased the turnover of that business quite dramatically. And I just loved it. I found it so easy. And it was just people. It was a people-based business. It was such a simple business, window cleaning. You know, it was like we had gangs of lads that went and attacked housing estates, windows. They cleaned them all up. They got paid for it. And then they went home. And it was brilliant. So I looked at, again, I was like, right, okay, well, how can I scale this up with what we've already got? And that's one of the, sort of looking back now, that's what a lot of people can do already with a membership. They've already got a lot of the content. They just don't realize it. So quick little story there. One of my clients, handyman, and he was like, I can't have a membership. And I said, okay, can we just run for a scenario then? I said, what's your number one thing that you go and build? And he said, oh, garden sheds. I said, so tell me about garden sheds then. He said, well, he says, people have bought a shed from B&Q, the DIY store over in the UK. He says, couple have probably bought it, all intentions of building it, and then it just gets put in the corner of the garden. I said, so how long on average has that shed been there? He says, oh, 6 months, 8 months. I said, all right. And then you charge to go and build that shed. He said, yeah. I said, do you get 100% of the jobs that you go and quote? He said, nah, probably 30%. I said, all right, okay. So what's the number one reason why people don't build the shed? Time, and they don't really know what they're doing. All right, okay. Well, why don't you video you recording the shed once, building it once, and then those 70 people that you've now lost the work to, charge them 20 quid to see the video. All right. What else can you record? Because all that happened there was it was just a confidence issue. Once the man realized, actually, I could build the shed, and there was a step-by-step guide and a checklist of everything he needed, he didn't need to worry about the shed. Then that gave him the confidence to do other things in the house. But anyway, we did the exact same thing with the windows. It was like, where else can we add money? Because some of the lads, one of the things that my dad always said was, he wants the lads to have a great work-life balance. So they started early, but a lot of them finished at like 2 p.m., 2:30 p.m. So they could pick their kids up. And he always said that. So I got them all together and said, does anyone want to make any more money? And it was like, yeah, my daughter's 16. Yeah, my daughter's going to big school. I could do with it. It's Christmas. I was like, right, okay, guys, well, we're giving out a lot of other work that is in our remit. So we've already got all of the kit to clean the fascias and soffits of houses. We've got the ladders, we've got the vans, we've got the buckets, we've got the materials. Why are we giving that away when it doesn't take that long and some of you guys want to earn a little bit of extra money? So we started adding that in, and then we started to pick up some commercial type contracts because I was going, again, analytical. Well, it takes 2 minutes to drive from that estate to that estate. Or we've got like three houses in that street. They're parking up and then walking around. So it's like, where are we losing time all of the time? Where are we losing it? And then it was like, well, industrial units and commercial, where they're all in one area. We had a row of like 18 shops that went this way and this way. It took like 2 hours to do this, but it was window, 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 window. So it was just turn up, do it. So then we started to do that. Then we started to get to cleaning schools' windows because, again, it's all there. And then usually it's like we want the inside doing it. So I think my headphones have just dropped.
All good. While you're doing that, can I summarize a bit? Because I think you've made some really awesome points there as well, Ryan. So as you're fixing that up, I'll do a quick summary here.
2 seconds.
Yep. Can you hear me, by the way, Ryan?
I can hear you awesome. Perfectly, yes.
Awesome, cool. All right, cool. I'll sort of recap and you do what you got to do on that end there. So I love that story you mentioned about your client, the handyman. And there's two really good points there. You know, I think one point is he was good at what he did. He had a system, and then it was just a matter of saying, right, you know, I've got this system. How can I essentially get it online? So I think for anyone watching this, if that's you, if you've already got a system, think about, hey, how can I get this online? And there's a lot of things, a lot of people I speak to are a bit scared of doing it online because they think it's not as good. You can't do this online. You know, you can't do fitness online. You know, you can't do hairdressing online. You know, whatever it may be. And here's my take on that. I'm not saying it's as good. Like, my background's in fitness, right? An online session is nowhere near as good as a face-to-face session, right? But you can probably sell it for way cheaper and you don't even need to be there and you're getting money for doing nothing. And for the customer, it's better than nothing. Maybe they don't have 50 quid for a one-on-one PT session, but maybe they've got 20 quid to buy your membership site. You know, so it's like, we're not saying it's better, but it's another option. So why not? So I think that's a good message for anyone watching this that's like, oh, you can't do it online. You can do pretty much anything online. I'm pretty sure I could learn brain surgery online if I really wanted to, you know. I'm not going to be as good as the freaking surgeon, obviously, you know, but it's like, you know, you can still learn something, and don't go out and learn brain surgery online. I should probably put that as a caveat. But the point I'm trying to make is it doesn't have to be as good as your face-to-face service. It just needs to be good and more value than what you're charging. And also on the other side as well, the reason why that works so well and I love it is because the handyman had a system. Right.
Yep.
If you're watching this and you're like, yeah, I want to have an online course or a membership site, but I don't know what I'm going to teach. Well, you need a system first. And the tighter your system is, and usually a system comes from doing a lot of one-on-one stuff. Let's use fitness as an example. Great. You've trained 100 clients one-on-one. You've got a good, you give them the same thing, you know, or hey, this person wants the weight loss. I'll give them something like this, you know, but you need the system first. So I think that was important. And I just wanted to do a quick point here. Because if you're listening to this, what I'm picking up from Ryan, and part of the reason of why he's so good at what he does is he sort of looks from the outside in, right? Pretty a lot of what he's done, especially with the window cleaning business, it's not Ryan going out there and cleaning the windows, right? Nothing wrong with that if you're going to go out and clean windows, right? But if you do it, it's going to take up your time. What I'm seeing here is that Ryan's got a team that's going out and cleaning windows. Ryan's sitting at home thinking, okay, thinking, okay, what about this strategy? What about this strategy? What about this strategy? So I think that's a good lesson as well. If you're trying to do everything on your own and you're trying to work in the business, it's going to be hard to get results like Ryan, right? But if you can find a way to leverage, and you don't need obviously he had a team of window cleaners, okay? He had it, right? But, you know, we're not saying you need a team of window cleaners, but just have a think, how can I leverage, you know? Is there some ways that you know, maybe someone can do as a favor for me, I do a favor back, or, you know, is there a way I can do a group thing? Is there a way I can do an online thing? You know, because the more you can get out of doing the actual grunt work, the more time you have to be creative and to think. And that's what I'm hearing a lot from Ryan. And also, if we circle back from the start, I think a lot of it comes from his very first, you know, he put in 100 quid and made 150 quid, right? And the other reason why I think that's so important, if you go back and rewind it, he remembers it like it was yesterday. It must be such an important time in his life that I don't know how long ago, but it must have been, you know, years ago, but it's etched in there because it's learned all these lessons. He's just learned that system. Hey, if I put in 100 bucks, how can I get 150 back? And then he's just scaled it throughout his life doing that. So yes, continue on.
Yeah. And I think just there, if people are going, well, how do I actually learn how to get rid of a task or whatever? Well, start by writing down everything you do daily, then start everything you do weekly and everything you do monthly, and then start color coding that on what job do I absolutely hate? And then go, okay, is there a piece of software that will automate that job for me? If not, okay, is there a VA I can do that? Okay, yeah, great. If not, and your business cannot afford that, because you do hear people come on and go, you just need to outsource, you need to outsource. And people are sat there going, yeah, but where does that money come from? So if you can't afford to outsource right now, on your calendar, just put once a week, once every 2 weeks, thinking time. And I want you to get like a noise cancelling headphones, go somewhere quiet, grab a piece of paper and just think about your business. And if anybody is telling me or thinking that's all right, but I don't have the time, scroll through your phone, go onto the settings, go into the screen time. Just tell me how much time you spend on Instagram, right? And now tell me you can't give me 30 minutes a week, okay? So, right, because that will be, the thinking time will be the biggest changer of your business. I guarantee it.
I do it every morning, Ryan. So I purposely do it in the morning as well. So that way it's like, and there's another one as well. Just freaking get up 20 minutes early, you know, get up 20 minutes earlier, you know, and just think. I do it every day and I love it. Yeah, so I agree.
Yeah, it's such a good thing to do. So we built the window cleaning business up. My dad walked in the door of the office. Now, he used to have these whiteboards with the round on, right? The walls were covered. Like, they were covered in whiteboards. And he was like, what the freaking hell have you done? And I was like, I found it quite easy, Dad, to be honest. It was like, once we got that contract, then they connected us to that person. Then they connected us to that person. We did a good job. And then more and more people started connecting us. And we did daft things like, how can we maximize what we've got? If we cleaned a house here, we would put a poster or a leaflet in this house, and the three opposite it. And it was very, very simple. It said, have you seen number? And then we'd write the number windows. They're looking sparkling because they were cleaned by LWC yesterday. If you want your windows to look as good as your neighbors, give us a call. And then we used to do, it's like the lead magnet. If we were going into another area, we would clean the kitchen window for free. So we'd say, are you interested in having your windows cleaned? Oh, no, we've got a window cleaner. Or no, we do them ourselves. I say, okay, not a problem. But just because you've taken some time out of your day to actually answer the door and talk to me, not just tell me to F off, please let me clean one of your windows for free. We usually clean the kitchen window. The psychology behind that was the kitchen window is the most used window in the house that you actually look out of, because as you're washing the pots, you look out the window, and they would ring us up and say, you little buggers. They're like, you know exactly what you were doing. And we're like, do we? What? And they're like, well, I've been cleaning my pots, looking out the window, thinking that window is so clear, but it looks awful on the inside, the one that I've cleaned. Can you just come do it? Boom. So we did that. So then what happened from there was my dad decided to sell half the business literally that afternoon. He literally sold half the business. There was a guy chomping at him for a while to buy the business. He kept the contracts that I personally had personal connections with because he said, we're going to honor them and et cetera, et cetera. But then that got me like, oh, right, now I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do something else. I don't know what it is yet. But
I've been trading on Betfair for years alongside all of this. And then I got this phone call, literally a few weeks after my dad had come back, and I was still sort of in the office with my dad and helping out and bits and bobs. And it was Betfair saying, can you sort of help teach what you do? And I was like, no one wants to know this. And they're like, no, they do. And then so I started teaching what I was doing. And I just found that people were like, Ryan, that's all well and good, but I'll be totally honest with you, mate. I'm not going to do that. Can you just email me every day with like your research? And I was like, hell yes, I can. £15 a month. Come on, then. So then I built a business called BetGreen, which was a membership site, and I knew nothing about membership websites. I didn't even know that this was a membership website. I just thought, I'm doing this anyway. So it's like what I've always done. I'm doing this anyway. If I got people on my list, I could just pay, they could just pay me by PayPal, 15 quid a month, done. I built this website on Wix of all places. It was horrendous. I can still see the images that were distorted because they were too big, but I was like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't care. Just like, boom. If they buy this, this was my overthinking as well. If they buy this in its worst, worst, worst form, where I have spent like 20 quid on this Wix website, we've got a winner. Because if they buy it when it's awful, they're going to buy it when it's better. And that's my personality as well. It's like I get obsessive. I can very, very quickly work it out and then go, right, let's test that. There is the lesson here. If you test something, test it cheap, test it quick, explain the process to people, say to them that this is a beta version, it's a founder version, it's whatever, it's version 1.0, and I'm going to build this like an app where it's 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. I promise you every version will get better if you stick along with me. So people were paying me for it. I was like, what is this? This is crazy. So I built that up, and that had a fair few hundred people paying me. And then I just had this idea one day. I was on the computer, and I was in the old Betfair forum. So I used to go in there and I used to interact. And it was like, this place is horrible. This place is not nice at all. There is horrible people in here. It's like, there's got to be a better place. So I opened up a tab. I was like, Betfair forum, non-official, Betfair forums. And just looking through, and I was like, there isn't one. Okay. Well, I thought, well, people know of me in the Betfair world. I've got people on Facebook that have added me to connect with me. I've got members of a service already. I'll just build another one. So instead of building the BetGreen brand into that, I didn't. I bought a new domain name, which turned out to be the best thing I've ever done because it's a really strong domain name. I bought the domain name BetfairTradingCommunity.com. So it's really strong. It says what it does. It's a really strong domain name. And I just created a free Facebook group that started chucking people in and then just going, okay, how do I get better at this? Okay, so I've gone to YouTube, Facebook group specialists, sit there, watch it, make a few notes, listen to some podcasts, connect with some people on Facebook. Oh, you've got a massive group. How did you do it? Kept building it and building it and building it. And then I was like, right, okay. So now I'm going to start the beta version of the group. So I was like, guys, I'm closing down the free group. I'll be honest, it's taken up a lot of my time. I'm giving you a lot of my time as well. I'll be honest, I make more money on Betfair than I do from this. So I need to charge for this to recoup some money. So I was just like, it's going to be really cheap. It's going to be really beneficial for you. £7 a month. It's like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? £7. Like, all of my products are priced really low online. I got hundreds of people in there. And it was like, okay. So I just kept building and building and building and building. And then one day, as with all kinds of communities in life, there is a little superstar in there. And you just see them. They just come in and then they sit there, effectively like they're sat in the middle of the park. They're spraying passes around. And you're just like, oh, they're a little bit good then, aren't they? And he sent me a message and he said, Ryan, can I come and see you? Because I want to chat to you about trading and various different bits and bobs. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. You're active in my community. You're a super user. And he was like, I just want to say, as I respect you so much and I've learned so much from you, I've always wanted to do my own service. And I was like, I could tell. I knew that that was coming. I could just see it. And he said, but I just wanted to say, out of respect to you, I wanted to actually come look you in the eyes and tell you that's what I was going to do. And then my brain's very quickly just gone, what would happen? Because the members do like him. He's very good. He's different to me. He's got a different set of skill sets. I was like, just come on board, mate. He was like, what? I was like, just come on board. Like, I'm locking you down now. Like, I was like, come on board. I was like, I've got a vision for this business and I understand that my personality isn't right for some of what I need to achieve. Your personality fits perfectly with my personality. So come on board. And he was like, okay, cool. So then he comes on board. We make, in like 3 months, we make more progress on what I'd wanted to make progress on than ever before. Ever before. It's like, wow. Okay. So then we wanted to build software out as well, because this was a membership and we taught and we emailed out and we had video trainings. And then we were like, well, we want stats, because I'm using stats every day. And I was actually compiling these spreadsheets myself. That was part of the value of the membership. And then I had a VA scraping and doing different bits and bobs, and I would crunch some numbers. And I just said in the group, which is another lesson for people, it's like, guys, this is what I do every single day. This is, you use it. Like, you use this. Would it be beneficial if we allowed you to do something with this? What would you want? What do you want it to do? And they were like, oh, we'd love to be able to put our own numbers in and then get a sheet like that. And we were like, okay, well, let's do that then. And then we thought about, well, actually, we do this every single day. Can we build a system that saves the parameters so we don't need to do this every day? How can we speed this up? How can we automate it? It's back to that daily, weekly, monthly. It's always trying to optimize that so you do the best tasks. And then one of the members actually on that post said, he sent me a message and said, I've already got all of this, Ryan. I built this for myself. I was like, hey, he's like, I built it for my own trading. I'm a coder and I'm ex-corporate. So he's very much like the integrator style personality, where I'm that visionary, like, I will knock on all of those doors. I will hammer down those doors until I get the result. I will not take no for an answer. You cannot insult me. It's like, I've got skin like a rhino. He's the integrator. And I was like, whoa, can I have a look at it? So he comes up to Lincoln, and then I'll never forget, he walked into my office and he filled the door. He was huge. And I thought, whoa, he is one big guy. Really nice guy, had some coffee, showed me all this software. And he was like, I never thought about monetizing it because I just use it for my own trading. But actually, maybe I should monetize it. And again, I'm like, you are, and you're monetizing that with me, my friend. Like, you're not going anywhere. Like, it's like Pokemon. I'm collecting all of you. Like, but then it goes back to that building a team. You can get so far on your own. And people said to me at the time, the first time, they're like, you're crazy. You're giving away a percentage of your business. I said, yeah, but 100% of nothing is 100% of nothing. Mm. Like, this guy's good. He's got talent. I wouldn't do it for everybody. And it was a process of me seeing him repeatedly. Like, this kid didn't just turn up and go, Ryan, I want some of your business. And me go, no. I'd seen months and months of him turning up every day, doing what he said he was going to do, actually sticking to that. And then the same with the other guy. So then we fast forward a few years and we're like learning all the time. And we read a book called Traction by Gino Wickman. And we implemented this into the business. So then I took over sales and marketing. Adam, the integrator, took over the operations of the business, building the software and running the dev team. So now we have a team of devs as well. And then Martin took over running the forum. We doubled our turnover in 6 months. And it was like, these are the roles we're supposed to play. So then we started to increase the price. So we were like, gradually we went from 7 to 15 for the first month and then $29.99. And we got rid of the trial month now. So if you don't, if you want to sign up, it's £30. Like, we don't do a trial. They say, why don't you get more members if you do a trial? Yeah, but we'd also get more people leaving because people are just coming for the freebie and then doing one. I don't want to disrupt the harmony in the business. So then we just kept going and building. And then the sort of two big, big takeaways that we've got from this business are, well, there's three actually, is outsource as soon as you can. So just outsource as soon as you can. Get somebody better doing that task than you, because that's been a game changer for our business. It's freed up my mental space to be able to do conversations like this, to get proper fired up talking to you. But then I come off this call, what do you think I'm going to do for the rest of the day? I'm going to smash it because I'm fired up, because I'm doing what I love, what I'm good at. And then the second one is culture. And this one is like, so the reason I built BTC, so if we go back in my story, is I hated the people on the Betfair forum. They were horrible. There had to be a nicer place to go. People were scared of asking a question because you asked a question and people was literally getting bullied online. It's horrible. And I was like, I'm not going to stand for that. Like, no, I just... So, and I'm very to the point. A spade is a spade with me anyway, and I will call you out. So it's like, no, the one rule of this business, the culture in which I'm building this business, is that no question is a daft question. I don't care how much money you pay me. If you're a member of my community and you ridicule somebody for asking a question, you're gone. There's not even like, I don't even have a word with you. You know, from day one, as soon as you come in, you know the culture. If you break that, you're gone. That has changed my life, because it's not just the membership that's got the culture. It's everybody we bring in. It's me, it's Adam, it's Martin, it's in our marketing. It's in when we hire, when we bring a VA, when we bring a dev team in, when we are making decisions in the business. Everything is tied to that culture. That is the culture. And then the third one is have a system. But when you also have a system and you have a team, because now we've been talking about culture and outsourcing and having a team, help that team. So one of the things that we do is we follow the traction framework for the business anyway. But when it comes to the rocks, which are the big things you're working on that quarter, I added in a personal development section, because what would tend to happen in the sort of 5 minutes when we were warming up on the meeting, I'd go, hey, Martin, you know, you mentioned that book that you read. What was that called again? That sounded really good. We've all got similar personalities, albeit different traits. And then Adam would say, oh, I've read a book like that. I'd download that book. I'd read it and go, that was good. So I said, guys, we always talk about books and courses that we're doing. And now we're in these roles. Why don't we have a personal development section? So in every single meeting now, we go through one book. It's a requirement of the business that you read one book every single quarter. Then I had this brainstorm that was like, we've got devs, we've got VAs. Why don't we ask them what they want to learn? Okay, what do they want to learn? So we have a podcast, it gets edited by a lady. Then we have audiograms done and emails created and someone else edits it. I said to her, hey, Marilyn, what do you want to do? What do you want to learn about? She's like, I'd love to learn about the post-production process. All right. I'd love to learn about creating audiograms. I'd love to create marketing material. Some of the things that I do and somebody else does, it's like, she's already doing 90% of it. It's like the ball's on the 1 yard line. We're just handing it off to someone else to get into the goal. So that is that. And then my biggest, like, if you're thinking, if you've got a membership or you've got a course, ask your people, what do they want to see more of? What would they miss most if you took it away? And what would they miss the least? Because people love talking about themselves. People are fundamentally motivated by their own self-interest. They will tell you that stuff. That on its own has enabled us to get to where we are. And now we have various different products as well. We have the different product ladder. So you spoke about the £30, which I think is $60 in Aussie money. I think you're double us. Yeah. So that's the first level. But we then included like extra bits, private coaching. But then we had all of this video resource and we were like, well, people keep saying they don't want to pay monthly. Okay, maybe they pay a one-off fee to learn because they're coming in. They're not actually ready to be in a membership. They're not ready to be around people who are at the level of trader that some of us are at, and that scares them. I think they'd like a bit more information. They want to learn and they want to be a better trader first. So we sell a course and then the course funnels into the membership. So then all of that happened. And then alongside all of this, so now we've like proper fast forward. I'm 32 now. And I started doing that at like 23, 24, like properly. But just because I'm a proper student of the game, I love digital marketing. You know, I'm a big fan of like Shramko and Ryan Dice, a digital marketer. And, you know, even the old guys, like the copy guys, like Dan Kennedy, Rich Sheffron, all of these guys, because I've spent so much time learning and I'm a real student of the game. My friends are going, can I build a membership? And I'd be like, well, let's have a go. So then we'd build a membership and then a friend of a friend would ask and then a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. It's like, I love this. Like, this really, really juices me. And I've got a team on BTC, on the trading community, that's like, they handle a lot of the workload for me. I've got time to then go and do this other thing that I love. So then I created the Membership Mastery, which is just where I literally go, okay, so what do you want to build? Okay, let's get it built. What do you want to launch? Let's launch it and let's scale that bad boy. But for me, it's very, very important that I've got that experience and I still have that living, breathing membership, because like that email, for example, that I shared with you, I've tested that on thousands and thousands of people. So when I say this is like, I've A-B tested this. So I've tested this against another email here. I've seen which one wins. I've dropped the loser. Then I've put another one up and changed it very slightly to get to that result. It's real. Like, it's actually happened. And it still is happening. So that's the other thing for me. It's like, I want to make sure that I am running, I am first, and I am, everything I do and everything I say has been tested so that you can then use this. While you're using this, this will get your results, but I'm testing the next thing. And then I'll tell you that, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how it all happened, really.
Love it. Well, I've got a few questions, and then we'll do a bit of a wrap. I love that last point you mentioned, how you're actually running a membership site, because you see a lot of the gurus these days. They're like, hey, I make, you know, $100,000 a month. But they make $100,000 a month from your money that you paid them to teach them the thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, at least it's like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm making money off you, but I've got my whole other side business here, which is what you want to do, you know? So I think that's cool. Yeah, I'll do a bit of a wrap in a sec, but I think we share the email, Ryan. Is that okay? That if you share the email and why you do it, let the audience know and we'll do a bit of a wrap after that.
Yeah, so I have a Why'd You Hate Me email. So this email, the initial idea came from Ryan Levesque, and then I started tweaking it a little bit. And it's basically, if you get to the end of your sales sequence and you haven't got the results, or you even have got the results that you want, the people that haven't bought, you send them a very cheeky email that's like, why do you hate me? And it just goes very similar along the lines of, hey, so I've been talking to you for a couple of days now, and I just want to know, why do you hate me? With like a winky emoji, a bit tongue-in-cheek, and it's like, I'm only joking, but are you crazy? I've been trying to sell you this product, and why haven't you bought? It gets so many responses. And when I told you about this email, I'm on your email list, and I remember this. I was sat feet up in the living room, scrolling through my emails, and it said, Jono, and I was like, and then the subject line, I was like, oh no, he hasn't. Oh no, he hasn't. I pressed it and I was like, he's gonna do so well with that email. But what I liked most about the way that you did that is you took my base template, you added your personality to it, so it worked for your audience, and then you got such a good response. Boom, done.
Yes, I anyone listening to this, if you're, and there's two things. A, I think I got a few sales from it, but B, I just got really good feedback. I was like, yes. Oh, shit, that's what people think. Oh, and in two different ways. I was able to reply to people individually. Oh, no, hey, yeah. It's actually like this, not like this, you know? And then just good feedback. Oh, okay, so this is what people think about me. This is what people think about that. Okay, cool. How can I change my marketing? So I think that's awesome. Hey, I want to be respectful of your time, Ryan. And that was such an amazing story. I've got so much notes here, but I think the best thing I can do is just summarize those sort of points at the end there that you mentioned. So one of them was outsourcing as quick as possible. I'm a huge fan of that myself. And I even take it that step further, right? Because here in Australia, the minimum wage, if you want to go and be an Uber driver, it's about $20, $20 Australian an hour to be an Uber driver, right? You can find a VA for give or take about $5 or $6 Australian. So, you know, my suggestion for anyone that's like, you know, short on time, I would just be like, hey, go and drive Uber for a couple hours, make $40. There's 6 or 7 hours from a VA that you've got there. So I would get really, really creative. And even in Australia, even if you go and work in a pub on a Saturday night, you might make $100, you know, with your wage and your tips or whatever. Hey, you might have to do that, but then be smart with that money. Be like, cool, yeah. All right, with this $100, I'm not going to blow it, or I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to use that $100 to invest someone else. There's, you know, 20 hours that a VA can work for me for that, you know. But I might work one Saturday night in a pub, and then, cool, now I've got a part-time VA that can springboard me forward there. And that's, I think, another big part of your success, Ryan, is you look at what you're doing. Okay, right, how can I outsource? And then I'll do the next thing. How can I outsource? Then I'll do the next thing. And it's like a continuous game, because there's always something, right? There's always like you'll hand something off and then you'll come up with something else. But then you'll hand that thing off and then come up with something else. And it just allows you, because it's like the old saying is, hey, there's only 24 hours in a day. Yes, if you're doing it on your own. But you know, really, if you've got, you know, 10 people there, now you've got 240 hours and you can obviously do more with it. So I think that's important. Culture, huge in many different ways. For most people listening to this, it will probably be in their memberships, whether it's their community group or whether it's their paid group. And I learned this the hard way when I used to run a fitness boot camp, right? Same sort of thing. A fitness boot camp is essentially a membership site, just a face-to-face one. And what I realized, there was one really negative person in this boot camp, right? And whenever this person would come, it would bring the mood down, right? And long story short, I didn't even think I kicked her out. I think she stopped coming, right? But as soon as she stopped coming, my numbers increased in my boot camp. And I was like, hold on, sometimes it can be better to get rid of one person, even if they're paying you, right? Because that one person that's paying you can turn 4 or 5 people away. So I think that's key. And what I learned in boot camp is, all right, if someone's negative, I'm going to strategically put it in a way where, hey, you know, you either become positive or you F off. They're your two options, you know? Yeah. And I've got some strategies, obviously, to do that in the fitness world. But even in the online world, in this Facebook group, I just remove someone. You know, if someone asks a question and you give them a negative thing, I don't message them, oh, hey, can you be nice next time? You're gone. Because if you're that sort of person, you're not the sort of person I want in my group, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's an important attitude for people listening there. The system. So I think that's good in a few different ways. Firstly, I think half of success is having a system and sticking to that system. You know, it's like if you just jump on, all right, what am I going to do today? Okay, I'll post on Instagram. Okay, tomorrow, what am I going to do? I might go and, you know, do some cold calling. It just doesn't sort of work. But if you're like, all right, hey, I know, you know, if I go and, you know, send 10 friend requests on Facebook a day, and then I know, you know, 5 of them are going to accept me. And I know, you know, 2 of them are going to join my Facebook group. And then I know 1 of them are going to buy. Okay, well, then it's predictable. It's like, all right, cool. You know, all I got to do is this every day and I'll get sales. All right, cool. Maybe I don't need to go and, you know, send these messages. Maybe I can hire a virtual assistant to go and do that for me, you know. And then you can just go from there. So I love the system. And the personal development, so important. And what I've sort of realized in business, there's an old quote. It's something where like... Your financial development can't overtake your personal development or something like that. You know, it's like you can only get so far in business. It's always the personal side that's going to take you there. And then the ask, you know, the best way I like to do that is simply on Zoom like this, you know, go and do a Zoom with someone. Hey, Ryan, you're in the membership. What do you like? Why do you like it? What do you not like? Why do you not like it? And it may, you may get some hard truths, you know, you may get some, it might be confronting. You may think something you were doing was good that isn't good. But really that's the best feedback you get. And you just make it better and better and better each time. But hey, I want to be respectful of your time there, Ryan. So that's, I don't know what the time it is in the UK, but it's 6 o'clock over here in Australia. Is there anything you want to finish us off with? Or is there anything I should have asked you but didn't?
No, I just reiterate what you said about the ask. If you are thinking of doing this, then jump in groups, ask questions, and just see, and just let your flow go that way, and just investigate it. Don't put barrier up, see what happens.
And I'll even just piggyback off that a little bit. Here's a point you mentioned earlier in the call, something about people. You know, hey, this business is all about people. I think most sort of memberships are. So my suggestion would also be get good at people, you know, do whatever you can to learn people, know how to talk to people, you know. My favorite book for that, I'm pretty sure you would have read this one, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
But hey, I want to be respectful of your time, so I'm going to end the podcast.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Check out the show notes for more free resources on how to sell more of your online courses.